Does the recent outpouring of support from celebrities tell us that the American people are pro-baby murder? And the Gospel Coalition is teaching that Jesus struggled with his sexual identity. And we're going to look at how we can, as believers, fight against sin according to Scripture. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And today's episode, we are going to be discussing a couple of alarming, alarming things, not only within some in Christendom, in some of the more conservative circles, which is really sad, but also discussing something that recently happened with a number of celebrities coming out in support of baby murder. And yes, that is what we call it here, because that's what it is. I'm not going to sit here and mince words. I'm not going to sit here and try to give some sort of coping mechanism for those who would willfully take the life of an innocent child. As someone right now, my wife literally just got done with a checkup with our baby that is due in October. And I love the fact that I get to have my fourth little baby, and I love the fact that there's a baby inside that womb that my little two-year-old says is too heavy to pick up because she's inside the womb, but is excited to meet her new little sister soon enough. And if you talk to any mother, I truly believe that, if you talk to any mother, when it comes to this issue, when it comes to abortion, if you talk to them and ask them, if that's a baby inside of them, they would be really hard pressed to say something else. In fact, we know there's a reason why groups like Planned Parenthood and the liberals want to push away the idea of giving women a sonogram, of seeing their baby, because when they see that baby, that it's not just, quote, a clump of cells, they recognize, wait a second, that's a human, that's a person, and that's my child. And so we want to look at a recent story that happened, because I saw this quote, and maybe I'll put it at the end of it, but I saw this quote from Planned Parenthood, and I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. Just obviously they say some dumb things all the time. If you follow them on Twitter at all, sometimes it's good to know what the enemy has to say. And yes, they are the enemy. They're murdering babies. Okay, this is no different than the Israelites falling into the false gods of Moloch and handing over their babies for sacrifice. It's just, and the pagans doing it obviously before them. It's no different. It just changes. You know, Satan is the same he was before, and he wants to murder children. He wants to murder the image bearers of God, and that's exactly what's going on here. And almost 140 artists signed a billboard ad in support of the pro-abortion effort, according to Broadway World. They claim that the pro-life laws that are being passed across the country, praise God, are draconian restrictions on reproductive health and freedom. These include informed consent laws, laws that protect unborn babies with detectable heartbeats, abortion clinic regulations, and laws that require parents to be involved when an underage girl wants an abortion. The musicians who are fighting against these pro-life protections include Ariana Grande, Lady Gaga, Beck, Billie Eilish, Bon Iver, John Legend, Nicki Minaj, Demi Lovato, G-Eazy, Haim, Troye Sivan, don't know who some of these guys are, Macklemore, Hailey Kiyoko, Megan Thee Stallion, Miley Cyrus, that's a big surprise, Kacey Musgraves, Carole King, Dua Lipa, Meghan Trainor, Lizzo, and others. Quote, those who signed are urging their social media followers to take action against these bans and learn more about the threat to safe, legal abortion access in communities across the country, according to the report. Specifically, the artists are asking their supporters to add their name to a national petition calling for an end to the abortion bans, with a goal of collecting 500,000 signatures by the anniversary of Roe v. Wade in January 2020. So what did Planned Parenthood have to say about their support? Quote, "The outpouring of support from artists is further evidence that the American people do not support restricting access to safe, legal abortion." Stop right there with the idiocy, okay? Stop right there. Not only does that show nothing that the American people support baby murder, okay? And we can get to that. Plenty of people do, all right? But not only does that have nothing to do with that, safe, legal abortion, there is nothing safe about murder, period. End of sentence. There is nothing safe. It is the least safe thing. There is nothing safe about a baby inside a womb while you are trying to cut them and dismember them and then sell their parts. There is absolutely nothing safe about that. The fact that it's legal doesn't make it safe. The fact that it's legal doesn't make it right. You could have ask Hitler about that, okay? Not that he would have answered in the appropriate way, but this moral relativism, okay, this idea that we can make up our own rules, or that even that rules are just simply, you know, objective truths and laws are just based off whatever's happening in the law of the land, that is absolute nonsense. This is baby murder. This is disgusting. And every one of these celebrities are an accomplice to murder. I'm sorry. If you support this, you are an accomplice to murder. That is what you are. Every nonsensical pro-abortion argument is simply that. You equating the baby being murdered in their mother's womb to a right to choose. A right to choose. That's absolutely ridiculous. And it's disgusting. And it's not just the celebrities. And by the way, the fact that they're supposed to be the pulse of our country should say a lot, especially with all the scandals that have recently happened, whether it's the Harvey Weinsteins, right, or whether it's the people in power with the Jeffrey Epstein nonsense that's been going on. Over and over again, we look at all these stories, you see the corruption over and over again. Some of the disgusting things we find out about James Franco, as he's a disgusting, wicked Satanist, okay, hanging out and making videos with Mr. Lucifer Rising over there. And we could get into that, and that would take me on a tangent. But nonetheless, you could go after and see this, and that they are supposed to be some moral compass. Guys, girls like Miley Cyrus, who sing songs about Pop and Molly and tell the little kids to go and do it and how much fun it is, okay? I could go through this list. Ariana Grande, saying God is a woman and using that as just a reference for she would get somebody to believe God is a woman because of their sexual promiscuity together. I mean, you could go down the list of these artists and some of the nonsense that they're preaching and act as if this is the heartbeat of our country. Sadly, it is for a lot of people. And sadly, people have been bought the lie. And we are at a place when it comes to our knowledge of science, okay, and I don't like to use the science argument all that much when it comes to abortion, okay, we can use some logic, is it a person or not? If it is a person, you're killing it, things like that. But when it comes to just the science, now what we have, that we can look at those babies inside that womb, okay, maybe in the 1960s, maybe in the 1950s, 1940s, okay, before all this stuff was invented, we didn't know. Maybe you were convinced by a doctor, it's just a clump of cells, we're just pulling out a clump of cells, okay? If it was a clump of cells, they wouldn't be selling the body parts of a clump of cells. But anyways, the nonsense, the argumentation, okay, people have been lied to for years. The fact is, we can look and we can know. And the only thing you're doing when it comes to abortion, if you are still pro-abortion, is you are either willfully ignorant or disgusting, one or the other, because you are truly deciding to be willfully ignorant. It's the amount of knowledge that we have. And what I like to do is listen to what people have to say. Listen to what maybe politicians have to say when it comes to this issue. And what would they say when real questions are brought to them? Beto O'Rourke, okay, and you guys know he's running for president on the Democratic platform. He already lost his Senate, didn't win a Senate seat in Texas, but had all the support from all the celebrities, more money coming from outside of Texas to be poured into him than any other candidate from any other state. You had literally LeBron James of the Lakers showing up in a Beto O'Rourke hat, even though he lives in Los Angeles and lived in Cleveland before that. But he wanted to wear his Beto O'Rourke hat when he visited the San Antonio Spurs to say, please vote for Beto. And all this nonsense that they had going on, all the money poured into him, and he still lost in Texas, praise God. And I wanted to play a clip from him because I think that a lot of the liberal jargon, a lot of the nonsense that you hear from these candidates, especially on this issue, is they better fall in line, okay? And I want you to hear it because this is him hearing a question that he really doesn't want to answer. You can hear his, just listen, please, to this clip. See how uncomfortable he is when the question is posited in such a way that it brings reality to the situation, okay? Because a lot of times we can hear philosophies and ideas. The guy who asked this question, I think he did a great job in the way he proposed it to Beto O'Rourke. Tony, can we play that clip?
And someone asked you specifically about third trimester abortions, and you said that's the decision left up to the mother. So my question is this. I was born September 8th, 1989, and I want to know if you think on September 7th, 1989, my life had no value.
Of course I don't think that, and of course I'm glad that you're here. But you referenced my answer in Ohio, and it remains the same. This is a decision that neither you nor I nor the United States government should be making. That's a decision for the woman to make. We want her to have...
With thunderous applause. Do we see what he's actually saying there? That you had value? Well, you had value, but you should have been allowed to be killed. How does something have value if you can murder it? Okay? If you say, I love homeless people, but you think you could blow them away on the side of the road, don't tell me you value them as a person. Don't tell me you value them as an image bearer of God, because that's exactly what they are. You value him? I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad that your mom didn't decide to kill you, but she should have had the right to do so. What was the difference from September 8th of 89 for September 9th? Absolutely nothing outside of him being outside of the womb. That man was a person, is a person. And it's not decided simply by your feelings, who you decide who a person is. Otherwise, the Jews in Germany weren't people. Otherwise, the black slaves were not people. Do you see how you have to attach yourself to these things when they're brought back to their logical conclusion, how evil they really are? That you could look to a person who asked you that question and say to him, I value you, but your mom should have had the right to murder you the day before you were born. That's not a right. You don't have the right to just murder people. It's absolutely disgusting. And sadly, something that I've been talking about doing and I really want to do is call a number, probably maybe like 100 local churches, and ask them a couple of questions. What is your view on homosexuality? What is your view on abortion? And what is your view on inerrancy? Do you believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God? Because if you do, I believe those other two things are thrown out. Those other two things are thrown out if you believe in inerrancy. But I believe so quickly you can throw out the other two once you have the other gone. Or you can start questioning inerrancy, sufficiency of Scripture, once you accept the other two. No longer do I believe what this is saying because it said something about a gay person that I love. No longer do I believe this because I heard these celebrities tell me that you should be able to murder your baby. Of course, they won't word it that way. We can use semantics and games to get around it. But the sad thing is that all that leads to is you being a murderous individual. And I do pray for the women who have been duped, who have decided to take this terrible, terrible logic, decided to listen to people and that told them that there was a clump of cells there, or no, willfully went to murder a baby. I do pray for their salvation. Okay, it's heartbreaking to me when I hold my child in my arms and I recognize that they don't get to have that joy. They don't get to hold that baby. It's heartbreaking for the millions of people that aren't even allowed to, can't have children. It's heartbreaking to me that you would use that, even though you're able to have a child, that you would decide to murder that baby instead because of a convenience. Because of a convenience. How wicked, how sick, how disgusting. Speaking of disgusting, okay, as we switch subjects here, Ed Shaw of the Gospel Coalition Australia said something that is not only illogical, and if it's brought back to its logical conclusion, points to Jesus actually being a sinner, okay, when you really think about this. And I think he really doesn't understand Christology properly by what he said here. And it brought out a lot of people saying, what's going on? Because the Gospel Coalition is tied to a lot of very conservative Christians. And so the fact that this, and I'm not like finding his article and quote mining, this was how the article was promoted on the Gospel Coalition Australia in order to tell people, go read this article, okay? And this is what he said. This is Ed Shaw. He said, quote, I want young people to know that Jesus is the one person that they can fully trust with their sexualities, identities, and gender, because he is both their creator God and a human who knows what it is like to grapple with a sexuality. Do you guys hear that? Sadly, and you know, we posted this warning people that this is being taught, and people are like, well, it says in Hebrews 4:15, and I'll read it, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And so they think because Satan came and tried to tempt Jesus, that therefore means he grappled with things like homosexuality. Guys, that is not just wicked, it's also stupid. Did Jesus grapple with pedophilia? Did Jesus grapple with murder? Did Jesus grapple with atheism? Did Jesus grapple with Satanism? Did Jesus grapple with homosexuality? In the Bible, these things are called sensual desires, lusts. Jesus is the one who proclaimed in Matthew 5:27-30, very clearly, that if you are struggling with the sin of lust, which would be looking at someone in a sexual manner outside of marriage, if you struggle with this sin, to pluck out your eye, to cut off your hand, if you are practicing such a sin, he didn't grapple with it. He didn't have a wrestling match with homosexuality. He didn't have a wrestling match with transgenderism. I mean, this is absolute nonsense. If I brought this back to the logical conclusion that he grappled with every single sexual sin, then I would have to think that Jesus struggled. Jesus grappled with being a pedophile. That is absolutely repugnant, ridiculous, and disgusting. And this is what is happening when we separate the mind and the heart when it comes to these issues. Okay? The mind and the heart. All right? This idea that when you look at this and point something out and say, hey, this is wicked, in your mind, you say this is wicked because your heart, what? Your heart emanates when you speak. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you speak shows what your heart is. Okay? And the things that you have thought process, you could think, oh, Jesus is God, right? The demons believe that and shudder. But if you don't truly have a love for him, it's a heart issue. When Jesus came, he didn't come for just merely outward practice. He came for the heart. The new covenant be written on your heart. When your heart is wicked with sensual desires, the body says that that is a seed of the flesh. Jesus did not have a seed of the flesh inside of him. If your heart is wanting sensual desires and these things, and you don't simply practice them because your head tells you it's wrong, then guess what? You have a problem. God said that he would come and take people's hearts that were stone and make them hearts of flesh. It wasn't because they had an idea and posited a thought that Jesus is God and that he would do good things in their life. What it was a change of heart, was that access of grace that is granted to by our faith As it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, we gain access to the grace of God by our faith. We turn our hearts to Him. It isn't just simply knowing and having knowledge of who Jesus is. It's knowing that and putting that to practice. It's knowing that and having a change of mind and a change of heart that leads to a change of action. This is repentance. You see, Bethel also came out and said a couple of, I guess you could say, disturbing things concerning sexuality as well. And a lot of people had a little struggle because they seemed to be contradicting themselves here. Okay. And Bethel Church in Reading posted this, okay, on a picture that said, God loves you, and so do we. He said, quote, God loves all people, LGBTQ plus and straight. The message of changed has never been, quote, all must change. We share these stories specifically for Christians who are unfulfilled in identifying as LGBTQ plus. For those of you who feel fulfilled and happy as you are, we love you. God doesn't force people to change, and people, including Christians, shouldn't force others to change either. Guys, and they go on to say they stand against shame and humiliation and manipulation. And I think any Christian should go against shame and manipulation, right? About physically, you know, even mental, whatever you're doing to someone who may be a homosexual or a fornicator, an adulterer, an idolater. If you're using shame and manipulation to try to bring them to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're a problem. Okay, that's no, I have no problem with that. But this idea of this healthy, happy, and fulfilled life as you are, we love you, happy and fulfilled as a homosexual. Guys, we need to warn people. Do you see this language in the Gospels? Do you see this language in the New Testament? Just be happy and fulfilled as you are. Unfulfilled. We share these stories of Christians who are unfulfilled as they walk in LGBTQ. And what's interesting, if you read those two sentences together, we share these stories specifically for Christians who are unfulfilled in identifying as LGBTQ. For those of you, who is it talking about? Christians who feel fulfilled and happy as you are, we love you. There's no such thing, guys. A gay Christian is as real as a murderous Christian. A gay Christian is as real as an adulterer Christian. A gay Christian is as real as an idolater Christian, an atheist Christian, or anything else. Because to be a Christian is to be identifiable with your Christ. To be a Christian is for those in the outside world to see you, look at you, and say that person is a Christian because he follows Jesus. That they would be able to use it as a mock or a ridicule of who you are because you walk in the Lord. You walk and trust in Him. It's absolute, that is nonsense, guys. Jesus doesn't want you to change. Are you kidding me? Is it like, what is the gospel? It's not only that you're saved from sin. It's not only that you are saved from sin, but sanctification is part of the gospel. That you would be sanctified in Christ, that He would make you are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You are supposed to be more and more like Jesus. You can't do that walking in a quote unquote fulfilled and happy life as a homosexual. That's impossible. You're living a lie. That's what it says in Romans chapter 1. They become futile in their speculations. They're unhappy. They are futile in their speculations. Okay? They live unrighteously and they suppress the truth in it. That they follow after these sensual desires. They follow after over and over again. It talks about their heart becoming murderous. I mean, guys, this is serious. This is a changing of the gospel. When did people not become new creations? When did people come to Christ and no longer have a new heart? When did people come to Christ and no longer start walking in the ways of Jesus Christ to the point where other people say, that person's a Christian, whether they're using it to ridicule or as a fellow brethren? When did we get to the point where we talk about happy and fulfilled lives as non-Christian practicing homosexuals and practicing homosexuals? I mean, guys, this is absolutely grotesque and repugnant. When I think about someone who has fallen into the sexual sin, I think about someone who is living a lie. That's not what God made you for. that we're supposed to bring every thought captive of obedience to Christ, that we are supposed to have our minds renewed, that our bodies would become a living sacrifice for our Lord Jesus. It can't do that practicing sin, guys. You can't be happy and fulfilled that way. It's heartbreaking. That breaks my heart. We had someone write in, talk about different ways they were asking, tangible ways to steer away from sin. Tangible ways that they would not fall and step into sin. And the Bible's clear in Luke 17. Jesus says that stumbling blocks are unavoidable. James 3:2 says that we all stumble in many ways. There's different stumbling blocks, which is entirely different than practicing and living and falling in sin. And I believe that Hebrews gives us some really good advice on this subject. It says, Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to read 3 and 4, and then I'll go back to the background. It says, "For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin." That's a pretty serious thing, okay? And I think that one of the most disgusting things that we see in the church today is that we don't talk about sin as serious as the Bible does. If we don't talk about sin as serious as he does, as we don't talk about the ramifications, the sowing to the flesh, reaping destruction, we don't talk about those things because we think we're going to lose some audience. But the fact is that this is the language of the New Testament. This is what the Bible said. You haven't even resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And what is that in context of? This is following chapter 11 where in Hebrews, we're taken through the hall of faith, right? You hear about Noah and Abraham and Moses. And I mean, it's just the hall of faith and everything they endured. And then it says, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangled us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And that's where it asks you to consider him when you're striving against sin. Consider when you're striving not to practice sin, consider what Jesus did for you. Consider what he did when he went to that cross. I'll tell this as quickly as possible because I only got a couple minutes left. But I remember when I came to the Lord, one of the things that I came out of was drunkenness, alcoholism. I don't really like to call it. It's just that was happened to be one of the idols that I enjoyed. I don't like to put act like, you know, I fell into, you know, people equate it to cancer or something, you know, but it was all my choice. I wanted to drink and I continued to be a slave to that sin. And when I came to Christ, he freed me of those things. He changed my heart and freed me. And one of the things, it wasn't simply just, hey, I want to not practice this sin and God stopped it and took it away 100%. And I don't got to think about it anymore. I still had to make active decisions in my walk. And one of the things that I did was when I first came to the Lord, I remember sitting at my work and I opened my Bible to Matthew. And I started in Matthew and I went through Revelation. Then I started in Genesis and went. And I was a couple months into my faith. And I remember I got through the book of Proverbs, and then I went back and I was doing, I still do that, typically at least one proverb every single day, one chapter. And I remember I got to chapter 23, specifically verses 31 and 35. And I remember reading in Psalm 119, 11 about writing God's word on your heart that you may not sin against him. So something that I did, I said, I don't want to go back to that lifestyle. And at that time, I had a lot of friends that were living that, and even guys that would eventually come to the Lord, they were living and practicing that sin. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to fall back into this sin with them. And so one of the things that I did was I took Proverbs 23, 31 through 35, which could have been a biography every night of my life at that time. And I wrote it down and I put that in my wallet, inside of my wallet, where I would literally have to look at those verses as a representation of what God had said in his word and say, I'm going to go against what you said here and I'm going to go buy that. And it was something that I did. Some people can do this on their computer if you got addiction with porn, whatever you're dealing with, you know. Maybe you get angry driving. There's a lot of text you could throw in your car. But it was hurdles that I set up in my life that I didn't want to jump back into that lifestyle. And so I wanted God to use his word, and I kept that as a reminder. in my heart. So it's just something practical I hope you could use. And the most important thing is not that you write it down and put it in your wallet. The most important thing is that you write God's word in your heart, that you would meditate on it day and night, and that you would be fulfilled in who you are in Christ. Because if you're a blood-bought believer, you right now, reading his word, digging into God's word, digging into prayer, you are being conformed to the image of God's only Son. This has been the 511 News, and I am Chad Davidson.